You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter number 21. Acts and chapter number 21 in the Word of God this morning. And I want to begin reading in the first verse and read down through verse number 14 for the morning hour this morning. Okay? Acts and chapter number 21 and beginning in verse number 1. And if I don't pronounce all of these names correctly, I trust you'll forgive me for that. I did not take time to look them up in the encyclopedia like I should have, okay? Bible said in verse number 1, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard, and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, he departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Petopolis." Yeah. "And saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with them. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and his feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's look to him in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for the time that's ours to look into the Word of God this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for its great truth, knowing that by that truth we're set free, we're delivered. We thank you this morning for your work upon Calvary, that you died our death and became our substitute, our sin bearer, giving your life that we might have life. Now I pray that you'd help us this morning, Lord. We stand in such great need as your creatures and as your children. Now I pray that you'd open up our hearts to thy word, that we might receive it, that we might prepare our own hearts and lives to serve you and to walk with you, to live with you and even die in when that time comes to pass. Bless every family that's here, save sinners. I do pray for your power and utterance to be made from these lips of clay this morning that will glorify your name, bring honor and glory to you and blessing to your people. Help us, I pray, and give divine grace and help in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, as I was reading this passage of Scripture in my morning devotions the other morning, verse number 13 really spoke to my heart, and that's the verse that I want to preach from this morning. is where Brother Paul says there, said, then Paul answered. That is, after Agabus came down, Paul answered and said, what mean you to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. That is real dedication on the part of Paul and his life. And I want to preach on this thought this morning, dedicated till death. I wonder if you and I are really that dedicated, devoted to the Lord, that we're prepared not only like Paul to be bound if necessary, but to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. It takes some dedication for that.
Amen.
I'll tell you, a normal, just an average Christian is not going to make it that way. You're going to have to be a little bit above average. You're going to be like Paul, be as dedicated as what he was. Now, I started this message. I'm going to try to preach it half this morning and finish it tonight, if God would be my helper. And it shouldn't take too long at all this morning, I'll be honest with you. But Paul, I believe, in this passage, is making what I said, what I believe to be his last visit to Jerusalem. And as he makes his journey, he's warned on several occasions of the impending danger that awaits him. He has been told a number of times that the Jews are waiting there to bind him and, if possible, even to put him to death. But, you know, I'm glad that we're in the hands of God and our times are in his hands. And no man can harm us or set on us, as it says in the book of Corinthians about Paul, unless God grants them that permission. You know, when Paul was preaching at Corinth, the Lord instructed him, said, you just keep on preaching, because no man is going to set on thee here, because I've got much people in this city. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're immortal as long as we're in the will of God. And God will protect us through all situations and circumstances as long as we're walking and doing and accomplishing the will of God.
Amen.
Now, let me find that, make sure we're met. The final, and may I say, the failed effort to avert these afflictions that come up from the prophet named Agabus. And at this particular time, Paul is in Caesarea. He's abiding in the house of Philip the evangelist. Philip was one of the seven that was chosen in Acts chapter number 6. That was to be one that was waiting on tables. I personally believe that Philip was first a deacon in the church and then no doubt called on of God to preach the gospel and became an evangelist. It's this same Philip that was preaching in Samaria, and God called him down into the Gaza Strip to preach to that Ethiopian eunuch. And he preached to him out of the book of Isaiah until he was saved, and he baptized the man. And now he's here in Caesarea in his own home, no doubt still preaching. And Paul and his company come there to spend time and to be kept up by this man and his family. Now, the words of Agabus are no different from what Paul had already heard, that bonds and afflictions await him in Jerusalem. Now, Paul's answer to this plea is found in verse number 13. These men are literally begging Paul not to go to Jerusalem. There's danger awaits you there. There's harm that awaits you there. There's afflictions, there's sorrow, there's heartache, there's trouble that awaits you there. But you know, I'm reminded of the same, basically the same occasion of our Lord when he set his face as a flint to go toward Jerusalem. And he could not be turned away. You know why? He was dedicated to the will of God. And that was God's will for his life. He was devoted unto the Lord. And you know, Paul was in like manner. He could not be detoured from going to Jerusalem. Although some said that bonds and afflictions waited him there, it could not stand in Paul's way of doing and accomplishing the will of God. Even to the point of death, Paul was ready to die for the cause of Christ. I wonder if we're that dedicated today, or if we've sold out so much that we've kind of caved in around the edges and much less willing to die for the Lord. We're not even prepared to do the service for the Lord that He would have us to do in the house of God. And so Paul's answer is here. Paul said, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? Don't weep over me and don't break my heart because of this." He said, "I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And the Bible said that when those men heard that, they left off trying to persuade Paul and said, "The will of the Lord be done." But they were weeping, and Paul's heart was broken. And so what I see there is a passionate heart, both on the part of Paul and his comrades. You know, that's an amazing thing. Here's a man of God that is preaching the gospel, and here's a group of people that is supporting him in what he's doing. From some, he is departing. Others will escort him on his way on into Jerusalem. But yet him and them both are brokenhearted over what they feel is going to happen to Paul. You know, it'd be a God's blessing if we could see that in our churches across America today. But I'm afraid that it's not that way in a lot of cases. So many times, it seems like the people are at odds with the pastor, and the pastor at odds with the man of God. But it wasn't that way here. When it come down to these people here, they loved Paul. Paul loved them. They knew what their position was in life. They knew what Paul's position was in life. They were ready to accept that and to do that for the will of God. But it's not always that way. I just heard recently of a missionary, and his name slips my mind. He went to Tabernacle. Brother Steve might know the name I'm talking about. But he pastored in Canada. He started a church there and worked there amongst the Indians and was there for years. In fact, he's been there longer than what I've been a pastor here at Island Ford. And I got word just recently that those people rose up against that man and put him out of the church. They literally ran him off and deprived him of the pulpit and deprived him of fulfilling the will of God in his life. And folks, that's tragic. Amen. Here are some people who, they both had a compassionate heart. They loved Paul and Paul loved them. And that's the way it ought to be. A man of God ought to carry his people on his heart as the high priest carried the tribes of Israel upon his holy garment. Christ carries you and I within his heart. And surely the man of God ought to carry you on his heart. And I hope that I have. I've tried to these 25 years to carry you as close to my heart as I possibly can. And I hope that you've done the same for Brother Hall.
Amen.
We ought to lift one another up in prayer.
Amen.
We ought not to ever be at odds with one another. We ought to never be contrary to one another. Oh, yeah, we're going to have our differences. But I'm telling you, differences can be solved by the grace of God. And if we're a Christian, I've always said this in my preaching, and I believe it, that if we're all Christians, there's no reason that anything that would develop between us cannot be worked out if we'll set our heart to do it. If we're all the children of God, it can be worked out and bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. Now, their mutual love, they had a compassionate heart for Paul and his comrades because they had a mutual love one for another. They wept from a broken heart, but the weeping broke Paul's heart. I mean, if you get a hold of that, that'll help you a little bit. These men, they wept from a broken heart because they knew what awaited Paul. And Paul wept because he saw how their heart was broken. And so they had a mutual love one for another. And so there's that passionate heart of Paul and his comrade. And then I see also Paul's preparation for the conflict that awaited him in Jerusalem. For notice what the Bible said there in verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready." I'm ready, said Paul. I'm ready. Now, that preparation for the conflict, Paul said, "I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem in for the name of the Lord Jesus." And so the heart of Paul had to be prepared for the conflict that awaited him there. In fact, his heart had to be prepared in such a manner that he was willing to die there. You know, I wonder if you and I today were called to carry the gospel. Some of you men in here are qualified to preach. I wonder if some of us were called to go to a foreign land where the possibility was that death awaited us there. Would we be as willing and dedicated as what Paul was to go to that land and carry the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus to the dying? I'll be honest with you. He waited a demonic wait. There was a demonic attack, no doubt, from people awaiting in Jerusalem for the arrival of the Apostle Paul. You may not know it, and I may not fully understand it, but Paul is getting ready to fight one of the greatest battles he's ever fought in his entire life. And he's prepared to die there. The Jews there thought he was a traitor because he taught the Gentiles the grace of God. He taught the Jews about the grace of God. Those in Jerusalem thought he ought to be teaching the law rather than teaching grace. And I'm going to tell you, there was a conflict amongst them, and the Jews laid in wait and was ready to take Paul's life. And yet he was so dedicated to the cause of Christ that he was willing to go even if it meant his life. I'm confident that we lack that kind of dedication in the churches today. Do we come to the house of God because we're dedicated and devoted to the Lord and love Him with our heart, mind, body, and soul? Or do we come to the house of God simply out of obligation, that we just feel like we're obligated, like it's our duty for some reason to be here? We don't really come to get anything from God. We don't really come to get instructed in the word of righteousness. We just come because we feel that we're obligated to be here. No, I'm telling you, we ought to be dedicated and devoted enough that when that alarm clock goes off on Sunday morning, both feet ought to hit the floor and we ought to cry, "Hallelujah, it's time to go to the house of God." If we really understood what awaited us here at church, if we only understood what God really intended to accomplish in our lives as we come to the house of God on Sunday mornings and Sunday night, I'll tell you, we'd come out of that bed with a heart ready to receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and not only receive it, but to perform it in our lives. Amen. Amen. But I wonder if we're that dedicated to the Lord to do that. How can we not be? How can we not be? When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, how can I not be as devoted to Him as He was to me? Because that, although His dedication was to God, He said, "I've come to do Thy will, O God." And He did. But God's will was that He should die on Calvary for the sins of fallen humanity. Can you just see Him now? As He's carrying that cross up Calvary's mountain, He's been beaten with many stripes. He's been beaten beyond recognition. And He's weak and tired in His body. And yet, He's so dedicated to the cause of saving sinners, you and I, that He doesn't lay that cross down. He doesn't set it down and stop and sit down by the wayside. But He stands, lays that cross upon His shoulders, and carries it all the way to Calvary. And like a lamb dumb, He doesn't one time open His mouth. He doesn't complain about the fact that He's going to die. He doesn't gripe about the fact that He's going to die. He doesn't even ask God the Lord to send a replacement for Him. He knows that it's God's will for Him to die. Now, folks, there's some things that we know is God's will in our life. And I'm going to tell you, if we sin ignorantly, if we willfully sin, if we willfully sin against the Lord, I'm telling you, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what Krumacher said in a book Brother Stephen M. got me for our get together, our fellowship with the laborers here. I want to tell you what Krumacher said. He said, a man that will sin willfully is a lost man. He said, there is not a Christian living that knows what sin is and will willfully walk in that sin. So, ladies and gentlemen, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him we can say it is sin. Now, I'll tell you, I had to think on that for a little while. I had to think on that statement for a little while. To sin willfully is a sin of a lost man. But I'm going to tell you what Paul said in chapter number 10 of the book of Hebrews. He said, if we sin willfully in that manner, what we're doing, we're trampling under our feet the hallowed blood of the Son of God and doing despite to the Spirit of grace. Now, I don't believe a saved man can do that, do you? I don't believe a saved man can trample under his feet the hallowed blood of the Son of God. I'm just telling you that it's time that we examined ourselves and got our heart where it ought to be with God. Hey, I'm telling you, are we willing to die? Are we dedicated to die? Paul was prepared to die, and I'm going to tell you something. We all better be prepared to die, because I'm telling you, it's just around the corner for some of us. There is a hole in the ground that awaits every one of us unless that trumpet sounds. And no man's going to escape from it. The only ones I know that did Enoch walk with God and was not, and Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. I don't know anybody else that escaped the grave, ladies and gentlemen, not a one. And we're not going to either. And brother, we better be prepared to die. And if we're prepared to die, what makes the difference when we die? If we die, if I'm going to die, and I am, I want to be died doing the will of God, don't you? I want to be found dedicated to the service of the Lord, doing what God wants me to do, where He wants me to do it, and how He wants me to do it. If somebody would have told me 5 years ago, I'd be sitting in a stupid stool preaching. I told them they was, well, they down and told them they didn't know what they was talking about. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, because it's kind of humiliating to have to sit in a stool and preach the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather sit in a stool in the will of God preaching the Word than I would be out of the stool outside of the will of God not preaching the Word of God. Amen. That's right. Thank God for a good leather stool. Hallelujah. Makes me want to get to rocking in it. Put some rollers. Let's put some rollers on this thing, son, and some handlebars up here. Rock and pedal around a little bit. Amen. Set of brakes. I didn't put an electric motor on it. Hallelujah. Well, we can get going a little bit up here. Amen. That's right. I'm just talking about being dedicated now to the Lord and to the service of the Lord. And it does. It takes some preparation. The heart had to be prepared for the conflict, the demonic attack that awaited on Paul there. He said, for I am ready. Now, if he was ready, that means there was a time of preparation. You don't get something. You don't just walk out in the kitchen, ladies, and say, come and get it. No, when you go out in the kitchen, you cook a meal, and you know what you say? Honey, supper's ready. Why is it ready? Because you prepared it. Paul could say, I'm ready, because he had been prepared. That's right. Now get a hold of this. He was furnished with grace. That's why I was ready. He knew what grace was all about. God loving the unlovely. And he knew if it come his time to die, that God would give him dying grace. And I'm telling you, if it comes our time to die, God will give you and I the grace that we need in order to face death and look it in the face. And by the way, not only look death in the face, but spit in its eyeball.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you why. Because we have already blessed the Lord. We've been passed from death unto life. I'm not dead anymore. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And like the Lord, I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And I have the power, amen, over death and hell, because I have it through the blood of the Lord Jesus. He's given us that. Bless His wonderful name. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't make a dead Baptist get happy. That's right. Paul was furnished with grace. That's why he was ready to die. That's why he was dedicated. Amen. I'm talking about God. God furnished him with grace like you furnish a house with all the furniture and the fixings you need in the home. Have it all full. He lacked nothing. He didn't lack anything. Everything that he needed, God supplied. Isn't that a wonderful Lord? Woo! I mean, good for you and I. Anything that we need, God supplies. And sometimes we say, well, I didn't get this or I didn't get that. Well, if you ever stop thinking about it, maybe you didn't need this or maybe you didn't need that. But maybe it was just a want on your part. Amen. It wasn't really, didn't bring glory to God. I'm going to tell you, anything we need that will bring glory to His name, He'll not withhold it from us. And how many of you in here this morning could get up and earth? You could. If you'd just stop and think. You, some of you in here this morning could look at recent happenings in your life and truthfully say, God has delivered me. God has delivered me with a mighty hand, with a strong arm. God has brought me through a trying time. God has brought me through a narrow tunnel. God has brought me through a fiery trial. God has brought me through a hard time. God brought me through a hardship. I'm telling you, we serve a God that furnishes us with a grace that we need to face every situation in life, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Bless His wonderful name. Then faith, his faith was exercised. I mean, if he was ready, that means old Paul had a little faith. He had enough faith to look that bunch of devils in the face that waited him at Jerusalem and tell them the same thing he told them before he ever got. He didn't get to Jerusalem and soft soap it. You know, a lot of preachers, they can talk their mouth, run their mouth until they get up in front of somebody that they're a little contrary about. Then they want to get soft-tongued. They want to back up and back off a little bit. They're just not quite as tough as what they thought they were. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul wasn't that way. When he faced that bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees that was about to pull him apart, brother, I'm telling you, he didn't hesitate to preach to them Christ and him crucified the hope of the world. And it didn't bother him a bit to look them in the eye and tell them that this Jesus whom thou hast crucified is Christ. And he proved it mightily out of the Word of God that they had killed the Prince of Glory. Boy, I'm telling you, that's hard words for somebody to swallow when a man looks him in the face and said, hey, you're guilty of murdering the Prince of Glory. You killed him. You killed him. God help. I wouldn't want that blood on my hands, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I guess to some degree, we can say we all have the blood of Christ on our hands. But I'm going to tell you something else. I just about kick this pulpit off right now. Amen. I might have it on my hands, but thank God I've got it on my heart as well. Hallelujah. Amen. To God. I'm covered in the blood. Bless His holy and wonderful name. Yes, sir. The wonderful, wonderful Lord. And if Paul had enough faith, he could face that problem. And then his future was secure. He said, I'm not just ready to be bound, but he said, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. His future was secure. He wasn't worried about what waited on him out yonder in the future. He was ready for whatever was out there. And I'm going to tell you, his future was bright. Now, some of you in here this morning, you've got the idea that your future is not too bright. But I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, brother, I don't care what's happening. It's a whole lot brighter than what you think it is. So I'm telling you, the sun. As a songwriter said, the sun's coming up tomorrow, brother. Amen. The sun may set tonight, but she'll come again in the morning. She'll rise out of the eastern sky like she always has. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you that S-O-N, amen, that set will rise again, bless his heart, and did rise from the grave on our behalf. You better believe it. Amen. Now, that heart preparation requires a little bit of time. His preparation took him beyond being bound to the possibility of death. He was prepared to die. He knew he was saved. How many in here this morning really know? I mean, if you're ready to die, it means that you know you are saved. Now, I want to ask them, do you really know? I'm not talking about if you heard the preacher talk about it. I'm not asking you that you get up here and make some little profession on an altar. I'm not asking you, was you baptized?
Amen.
I'm not asking you, did you repeat a prayer after somebody?
Amen.
I'm asking you, have you had a personal encounter with Christ and had an experience of grace in your life that you know without a doubt that you've been to Calvary, been born again by the grace of God? That's what I'm asking you this morning. That you know that you're washed in the blood. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you know it, hey, if you know you're saved, you'll be dedicated unto death. Because you know and I know that even being saved, we're going to give an account unto Him one of these days. I wouldn't want to meet Him and have to give an account to Christ for living a life that was slothful, lazy, and sorry, trifling. That's right. I'd want to face Him knowing that I've been there. I'm going to tell you something. He had also prayed and found the will of God. These people continued. I mean, they just continued to tell Paul everywhere he went that bonds awaited him. Even Agabus, the last warning he received. Agabus said, hey, took his own girdle and bound him and said, the Lord said, the Holy Ghost said, that bonds and afflictions await the man in Jerusalem that owns this girdle. It was Paul's. And Paul said, What mean you to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, you know why? Paul had prayed. He was ready. He was saved. But he had prayed and found the will of God. Because the Bible said in verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. Apparently, hey, they knew what God's will was. And Paul knew what God's will was. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God's will is not always a bed of roses. And by the way, on every rose there are a few thorns, whether we know it or not. This life is not always a bed of roses doing the will of God. I'm just telling you, there's going to be some difficulties in serving God. But I'm glad in those difficulties that we've got one that's called alongside to help us. And we've got one that dwells within us. And we've got one that's on the throne of... Oh, I just thought of that. Whew. We've got one beside us, one in us, and one above us. Hallelujah to God. Say amen. God help. You can't improve on that, brother. You can't. When you've got the Holy Ghost beside you, and when you've got Jesus on the inside of you, and the Father above you on the throne, what more can we ask for? And we've got grace all around us, and faith is working for us. Amen. And our future is secure, and we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. What more can we ask for? I don't know anything else that a man can ask for besides that. We ought to be happy in little old hearts. Amen. That's right. Now, Paul prayed because he knew the will of God. Now, I wonder if you and I are that dedicated. Do we really know what the will of the Lord is? Now, listen carefully. Paul could not be persuaded otherwise. He was so dedicated, they said, bonds and afflictions are wasted. He said, what meaneth you to break my heart? And when they heard that, they went to weeping. Paul's heart broke when he saw them weeping. He knew that they loved him. They knew that he loved them and they loved him. And they were... But yet they knew the will of the Lord had to be done. And the will of the Lord was that he go to Jerusalem. They didn't know what all awaited him there. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told Paul when he was at Corinth. He said, Paul, don't be afraid to preach. For he said, you have testified of me here. And he said, you must also testify of me in Rome. Paul knew that while he was there, it wasn't nothing going to happen to him. He knew the will of God. He was going to Jerusalem and preach the gospel to that bunch of Jews. From there, he was on his way to Rome. Oh, he had a whole long, hard trip.
Yes, sir.
Went through some shipwrecks and one thing and another. But I'm going to tell you, he made it by the grace of God. And eventually, lost his head, I think, maybe on his third trip down there, I'm going to say it was. It's what I believe anyway. He lost his head. But he didn't lose his soul. I'd rather lose my head and my soul go out to meet Christ than I would lose my soul and go out to meet Him naked and empty. Amen. That's right. Now, he could not be persuaded otherwise. He could not be persuaded otherwise. Saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now, I'm just, believe it or not, I'm just about done for this morning. Knowing God's will wrought determination in Paul's heart. If you know what God's will is, friend, I'm going to tell you, you can get just a little stubborn if you want to. You can get pretty determined if you want, if you know it's the will of God. I don't care what the opposition might say. I don't care how difficult our steps may get. If we know it's God's will, we can be real determined about what we're going to do. I know when I came to Island Ford Baptist Church, I knew it was God's will. I knew it before I ever left Arizona. There was nothing to pray about. And the reason there wasn't, I'd been praying since 1981. No, since 1980. Since that preacher in Indianapolis, Dr. Lauren Dawson, preached a message on the Word of God on hide thyself and show thyself out of the book of 1 Kings. I knew, hey, from that message, I'd been praying about coming here for years. I told my wife in 1982 when they called Brother Cochran. I wasn't ready at that time to pastor this church. But I told my wife, I said, they called the wrong man. You can ask her if I'm lying. I said, they called the wrong man to the pastor. She said, well, who do you think they ought to call? I said, me. God wants me to pastor that church. And she just kind of looked at me like I was stupid. Which she should have back in those days. But there was something on the inside of my heart that told me, this is the church you're going to pastor. And I constantly went back to Chapter 17 of 1 Kings, when Elijah was at the Brook Cherith. And when Brother Tom Freeman called me that day, I fell on my knees and opened my Bible up to that very chapter and verse. That chapter, and began to read. And I think in verse number 3, the Lord said, now turn thee eastward. I'd never seen that before. Honest, before the Lord. Out of all the times I'd read it, never had I seen it. But I knew when I left Tucson that it was God's will for me to be here. That's why I wasn't going to let them run me off. I knew they couldn't run me off. I was in God's will. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're in God's will doing what God wants you to do, friend, there is nothing the devil can do about it but growl and gripe and chew at you, tug on you, amen, make you fret and make you doubt. But I'm going to tell you, he can't drive you off. If you just stand your ground by standing in Christ, he cannot run you off. Hey, don't you let the devil make you doubt what God's done for you. Amen. If Christ has died on Calvary and you know that, and you know that your sins have been atoned for, his blood has been shed for you, don't you let the devil make you doubt that. You look him square in the face and let him know right off that Christ died for you, and you know without a doubt you've been to Calvary and been born again. Tell him that.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let him get the best of you. No, sir. Knowing God's will wrought determination in Paul's heart. You can tell by reading that as many times as he was warned, he was determined that he was going to Jerusalem. Period. And not only that, but Paul's love for Christ demanded dedication. It demanded the dedication that was in Paul's life. His love for Christ. Our love for Christ demands dedication to Him. Not dedicated to the ball team on Wednesday nights. Not dedicated to the Wildcats and the Pussycats and Tomcats and all the other cats. Not even the Cardinals and the Woodpeckers. Dedicated to Him. I'm going to tell you something. Not even dedicated to self. dedicated to Him. Self is our biggest deterrent, being dedicated to Him. Wanting what we want rather than what He wants. Paul said, I'm ready to die. Don't break my heart, please. Those men weeping over him broke his heart. And rightly so. I mean, honestly. A couple Sundays ago, whenever it was, when you had our fellowship in the back, it broke my heart. It just did. And I thank God for everything that you did. But I can't get over the plaque. I cannot get over that plaque. None of these things move me, Paul said. And once again, I'm going to use this verse tonight. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I don't count my life dear to me. For to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. I wonder if we're that dedicated this morning as Paul was. Nothing could deter him. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Just like our Lord did. Knowing. And he went like our Lord went. Knowing what awaited him there. He didn't have to second guess it. He knew what was waiting for him there. And yet he did not try to avert himself one way or the other. He went there doing the will of God. Are we that dedicated this morning? I hope we are. Let's stand together, please.